I'd like just to take a look at how the Scripture sees armor bearer. So, we refer to armor bearer. Sometimes it's, you know, spelled a couple different ways. And this was a servant who carried additional weapons for commanders. Thank you, brother. So this is a person that carried extra weapons. Now, we're going to take a look at each of the time armor bearers mentioned in the Bible, and we're going to kind of make some relations here. And I didn't mean for this lesson to be kind of gruesome, but when you start reading over like the role of an armor bearer, it's kind of gruesome. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go through this. But this was somebody that fought in battle. Also, an armor bearer was an officer selected by generals and kings because of his bravery. Not only to bear their armor, but also to stand up by them in time of danger. Just kind of keep that in mind as we go throughout the rest of this study with an armor bearer. Because can we think of other things we can think of as a Christian? You know, to have somebody stand next to you in the time of danger? And that's kind of what this armor bearer role was. Now, also, we have mention of an armor bearer whose responsibility was for killing enemies that were wounded by their masters. There are some instances in the Bible where some people had up to 10 armor bearers. So these were people that came after either the king or whoever had hired them to bear their armor. After enemy soldiers were wounded with javelins or arrows, armor bearers would finish the job with clubs and swords. After the time of David, armor bearers are no longer mentioned. I just thought I would talk about that. We don't see any mention of armor bearer after the time of David. And I'm going to mention about David and his role as an armor bearer. And it might not be something that we've thought of before, especially with David. I know that I didn't, so I hope to bring out some things today. Now, when I think of armor, we did a study on warfare here two or three years ago. We did a study of wars. We studied about the Amalekites and the Philistines and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we talked about the different things that an armor bearer would carry with them. Here's actually the armor. This would have been Philistine's armor, and this would have been like a Philistine sword. Since most of the time here is of David, I kind of have images. Now, some people believe that armor bearers weren't necessary because after the time of David, most of the time kings fought from chariots. I spent a lot of time reading last night of different ideas and thoughts of why armor bearers aren't mentioned anymore throughout the rest of the text. However, we do have a lot of instances with armor bearers. And we're going to be studying mostly in the Old Testament today because that's the only places where armor bearers are mentioned. So let's take a look at the first armor bearer. Now, this armor bearer is actually with Jonathan here. So let's look in 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 17. I'd like to read that real quick just so we have an understanding of what this person is and their role. So we're going to read 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 17. And starting in verse 6, it says, "Then Jonathan said to the young men who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains from the Lord from having by many or by few.' So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart.'" Now, they're getting ready to go into battle. And remember before I was talking about your armor bearer, would somebody be brave that went along with you? So he's basically telling Jonathan, it's 2 against like 400. I'm with you. We'll go. And then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men who will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until he comes to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them to our hands, and this will be a sign to us." So in verse 11 it says, "So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden.' Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us and we will show you something.'" Like, come over here. There's quite a few people here. So there's two. There's Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they're saying, "Hey, come on over here. We want to show you something." Right? They're wanting to do battle. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hands of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. So remember I was talking about before, you know, the leader would go forth, you know, doing the fight, and the armor bearer would come after them and make sure that they were dead. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within a half acre of land. Now, I think I did a previous study where I showed where this land was and about how small of an area they would have been fighting in. It was actually kind of like a ravine that they were in. But Jonathan and his armor bearer was able to take care of just about everyone there. And it goes on and finishes up in 15 through 17, says, "And they were trembling in the camp, in the field, among all the people," right? So you have two people, just took out 20. "The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibrith and Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude melting away, and they went here and there." So this whole army is just fleeing. "Then Saul said to the people who were in with him, 'Now call a roll and see who has gone from us.' And when they had called a roll, surprising Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there." They showed up somewhere else. That goes on to a longer story. So Jonathan and his armor bearer, they took on this battle. This armor bearer told Jonathan that he was with him and that he was willing to fight next to him. So we see this bravery of this armor bearer that was going into this battle, trusting into Jonathan. Now, we do have other instances of armor bearer because we have Saul and David. So I want to read here, and I'll make some points in 1 Samuel 16 and 21. "And Saul's servant said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let your master now command your servants who are before you to seek a man who is skillful in player of the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hands, and the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well.' So Saul said to his servant, 'Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me.'" "Then one of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I have seen a son of Jesse of the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and handsome person, and the Lord is with him.'" Right? So David is already a man of war, prudent in speech and of valor before Saul meets him. "Therefore, Saul sent a messenger to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.' And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer." You know, this is something that I had to keep kind of playing over in my mind. That the first time that David meets Saul, not only is it to play the harp and kind of gain his favor, trust, and love, but Saul anoints him to be his armor bearer. Remember how I said before that this was a trusted position? Somebody that you would want to have with you whenever you went into war? Somebody that you could trust and that wouldn't turn and run whenever you came into battle? So there was a battle that David is famous for. Because we have Goliath. He also had a bearer. But Goliath's things were so big, he actually had a person just for his shield. I think it's interesting because he was a shield bearer. It's the only time that that's ever mentioned. So it says in 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 7, "Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam." And I have a gentleman that recreated what this spear would have looked like, weighed out and length, because, you know, we have the weight here. "And his iron spear weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to me, line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul?'" just want to keep that in mind. So we have Goliath. He's taunting him here. And we know that Goliath is a huge person. He's got this shield bearer, a person that's just out there with a shield. That's kind of why I have this artist depiction here, because not too many famous paintings actually have the shield bearer. But apparently that shield bearer was with Goliath often. He carried his armor, was a part of it. But you know, Goliath mentions here, he's yelling to them, you know, aren't you a servant of Saul? Well, who killed Goliath? Remember in 1 Samuel 16 and 21, where Saul made David his armor bearer? Then in 1 Samuel 17 and 50, David kills Goliath. You know, I had not really thought of this much until I started reading over things last night, that he was actually pointed as armor bearer before he would even have went into battle or anything. But I also gave that definition that armor bearers were also responsible for killing the enemies wounded by their masters. So I think of Goliath as taunting everyone and saying, aren't you the servants of Saul? Yes, and that's actually who took him down, was one of his armor bearers. Remember, the role of an armor bearer was to be that brave person that went out with the king that, you know, anointed him. I just find this interesting. I hadn't thought about this much last night until I started studying this. And this is the timeline, just kind of how I see this, is that he was made an armor bearer. You know, and he goes back to working with his sheep and flocks. You know, and his other brothers are out there ready to go into war, and he actually brings them food to eat and stuff like that. But I always had this image in my head as the first time that he's ever worked with Saul is when he said, you know, let me go against Goliath. But Saul would have already trusted him enough at that point to make him his armor bearer. Now, I don't know if that's saying that he in the future he becomes his armor bearer or whatever. I just thought it was interesting that this is the way that it laid out. So, going along with the idea of an armor bearer, we have another mention. Now, this one's a little bit more different, is Joab. So, this is actually a whole lot longer story. I read over everything last night, but I tried to put it, you know, just here in a few verses. So, this has to do with Absalom. I have another slide where we'll give the definition of Absalom here in a minute. But in 2 Samuel 18 and 9 through 15, it says, then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under a thicket, a burrow of a great timber tree. And his head got caught in a timber, so that he was left hanging between the heaven and the earth. So his hair got caught in a tree, and he's just hanging there. His donkey came out from underneath of him, and he's hanging there. And the mule which was under him went on, and now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in a timber tree. So Joab said to him, told the man who told him, he just saw him, and why did you not strike him to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. Remember, Absalom, here in 2 Samuel 14, 25 and 26, now, in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, at the end of every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels according to the king's standard. So that's a lot of hair, right? So he gets his hair caught up in this tree, and now Joab is saying, hey, why you saw him hanging in this tree, why didn't you kill him? And the man said to Joab, I thought if I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver, right? He said 10. Then he said, even if he gave me 1,000 shekels of silver, I would not raise a hand against the king's son. Remember, Absalom is David's son. For in our hearing of the king's commands, you and Abishai and Tai saying, beware, let anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life. For there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. Right? It was the king's command that nobody would touch Absalom. Then Joab said, I cannot linger here with you. And he took three spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart. While he was still alive in the midst of the timber tree, and 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. So, not only Joab is kind of like a commander, he had 10 armor bearers that he sent after him to strike Absalom down. So, even though this was something against the king, David, who said, you know, you cannot lay a hand on him, these men still did what Joab asked them to do. So that's just another instance where we have armor bearers. Now, armor bearers might be asked to do a lot of different things. They might even be asked to take the life of who they are serving. And we have an instance of that in Abimelech. And Abimelech here in Judges 9 and 54, it says, Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, A woman killed me. So his young man thrust him through, and he died. So, an armor bearer might also ask for something to be done. Now, this story is a little strange, because how did Abimelech get into this situation? Well, he had a millstone drop on his head. So he was actually going into battle, and a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head, cracking his skull. Right. Abimelech wasn't necessarily a good person, and God was pretty much, you know, considered him wicked. But that's what happened. But he asked that armor bearer to do that task. Like I said, some of this is pretty gruesome, right? Kind of shocking. Now, I think I did a study on millstones, right? The millstone, there would be a stone, and then a millstone on top of it, and it would roll around, you know, breaking up mill. So these are heavy, heavy round pieces of, like, concrete or stone that was pushed onto his head. But his armor bearer took his life for him. So really, an armor bearer is to do whatever is asked of them. So with that said, I kind of like to think a little bit about what we are to do as a Christian armor bearer. Now, there's a lot of thoughts out there about Christians and armor bearers and stuff, but this is just kind of the thoughts that I put together for this morning. Because we know we're fighting this fight. So in 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, Fight the good fight of faith, lay a hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed of the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So it's saying to fight this good fight. And normally when we think if we're fighting this fight, we have to put on armor. Now, we know we're given the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, it says we have to have put on the belt, the breastplate, the footwear, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Now, I think a helmet might have helped Abimelech, maybe. But these are the things that we're asked to put on. Now, I've done other studies where I've broken these down into different pieces, the belts, the breastplate, footwear, shield, helmet, and sword. These are all very important pieces that we should have on. But sometimes I feel like this armor that we should have, it plays a very important role. Because us as Christians, we might be carrying a lot of weight. We have home responsibilities, work or school responsibilities. And we also have the responsibilities of being with a local body of Christ. So we have all of these things that are on us. And this armor is to protect us. You know, I think of David when Saul tried to put his armor on him. In 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 39, it says, So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I feel like we are to put on this armor. But to go along with this thought with David and Saul, maybe we ought to test these. So we know how to use them. So we know how to walk. Maybe as an armor bearer of God, an armor bearer for Christ. We are to put on the armor, the belt, the breastplate, the footwear, the shield, the helmet, the sword. But do we put these on without testing them? Do we put these on without studying them? Because we know that these are just figures of speech. We know that the sword is the word of God. Do we know how to use this sword? Have we tested it? Are we just dragging around our armor like how David was trying to move around in Saul's armor? Now, I had always imagined Saul being kind of like a young shepherd boy putting on this armor, but that's not what it says. You know, David would have already killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Before that, he would have went into this battle. So he would have been a very strong man. So even this very strong man tried to put all these things on, but he hadn't tested them. He hadn't worked with them. So in order for us to actually put on this armor, I think in 2 Timothy 2:15 it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You rightly divide the word of truth with a sword. In 1 Peter 1:13 it says, "Whoever gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end of grace that is to be brought unto you to the revelation of Jesus Christ." We know that we're going to have these trials, that hopefully we've tested our armor, that we may go into various trials. And James 1:2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect worth, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So it's great to have our armor on when we go into these various trials. Not only to have our armor on, but to have tested it to make sure that it will protect us. Because we may be tempted by evil. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he draws away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin, and a sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So as we're going into battle against sin, we need to make sure that our armor is on, that our sword is sharpened. So us, like an armor bearer, won't fear things. We'll be able to go into battle for the Lord and not fear. I think of Jonathan's armor bearer, where he said, "If we're going to do this, I will go with you. If that's what your heart says, I will go with you right into battle, even though it was several against two." Because we don't want to be caught with our armor off. Because in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, was a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your breath that are in the world." You know, so when I read this, I think of a lion, of course, because it mentions a lion. But when we see lions at the zoo, they seem pretty docile. This is what I think of. A lion. A roaring lion. How would you feel if you were being chased by a lion and you had no protection? You had no sword. You had no armor. You had nothing. And I've kind of thought of these with these verses. That if we were an armor bearer, we would always be bearing our armor. We would always be carrying it for Christ because he's the one who gave it to us. We would be protected against all of these things on the earth. We would be able to flee from sin. And if we were to put on this armor, How are we to do that? What is the action that we need to do to put on the armor of Christ? Well, it's simply put in Galatians. In one simple sentence, it says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So for the lesson today, I was thinking of all of these different stories we had of armor bearers. The whole idea of being able to carry armor and go into battle. We know that armor bearers aren't mentioned past the time of David. But I was thinking, this is kind of like how we are as Christians. To make sure that we're prepared to go into battle. And how do we put on this armor? Well, we need to become a Christian. In here, in Galatians, it says in order to do that, you have to be baptized into Christ to put on Christ. So if anyone this morning would like to become an armor bearer, that would like to follow Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing.